Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Welcome. Hopefully you got a visitor card when you came in church. If you didn't, raise up your hand. We'll make sure you get one. I always like to let people know where they're at, in case you just wandered in the door. Grace Assembly of God is a Pentecostal church. Defining it, we believe everything Jesus taught and everything the apostles and the disciples experienced in the Bible is for us today. And so, I believe that as we lift up the name of the Lord and as we trust in His holy word, that God is going to do exactly what He said He would do. And so, all His promises are yes and amen, right? Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. We look forward to see what God is going to do today. I want you to stand with me as we're going to pray for our country. I'm going to lead us this morning. And it's Labor Day weekend. I know that there's a lot of people who are taking a break this weekend. So, you know, they're doing different kinds of celebrations or whatnot. But we're here to celebrate Jesus. Amen. And I thank God that we live in a free nation where we can freely worship our Savior. Praise the Lord. So Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we first of all, we lift up your name, for you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And Lord God, you are King over our lives. And Lord God, we are grateful to live in this nation, Lord, founded upon principles from the Word of God. And Lord God, a nation where Christianity has grown and thrived in a powerful way. Well, Lord God, we know that we're at an impasse, that there is a battle that's raging around us, that there are troubles and difficulties, and Lord God, that the enemy is sowing his seeds of destruction. But God, you've raised up a leader for us in our country. You've raised up people to lead us and guide us. Lord God, and we pray your blessing upon our president and our vice president. And Lord God, we pray that you'd watch over them, that you'd give them strength and encouragement, that you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Lord God, that you would cause your will and your purposes to be fulfilled in this nation. Lord, your word said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that you will hear from heaven, that you will pour out, Lord God, your presence and your life into us again. And Lord God, we'll be experience revival, Lord God. We need the renewal of the Holy Spirit in our nation. We need, Lord God, your strength and help. We're calling upon you, Lord God, to make it happen, Lord, because you're the only one who can. Lord, we just submit ourselves to you today. We're giving you thanks for our country, our nation, our president, our politicians in our local area, and our government in the state of Arizona, California, all around us, Lord God. We thank you for watching out for us and caring for us. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I want to remind you again about the bulletin insert, about our mobile app that's available to you. If you make sure that you fill out the information, we received about 10 papers. And some of it's an update. For some of you, it's a new paper. But we want to make sure that you're in our directory. That way you can get the app and we can all be connected in the church together. You know, it's a great thing to have fellowship, amen? It's another great thing. You know, I know sometimes people want me to come visit them. I look in the directory and it says P.O. Box 596. I'm like, I can't go visit your P.O. Box, you know. I need your information, right? So be sure to share that with us by filling out that form, and you can put it in the offering and leave it on the back table. We'll get it, all right? Hallelujah.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, he's free.
I'd like to invite you to stand and greet one another. Be sure to go over and see Susan, because
Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your gift. To us this morning, we receive what you have said, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, as we leave this place to consider what you have said, to check our hearts, to check our attitude, Lord, to evaluate our actions and see if we are where you desire us to be, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Lord, in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Are you Lord? You are. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Troubles. Hallelujah. You're greater than our past. You're greater than our future. You are greater than anything that can come in our way. You're greater than the devil. You're greater than any enemy. You are greater, Lord. You are great, our God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. It's great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers today. Lord, we've heard your encouragement, your admonition to us as well, Lord God. Help us to live and act in faith. And as we read the Word of God, help us to put it into practice in our lives. May our worship, Lord God, extend beyond these walls. Because we need you every day to inhabit us, to walk with us. We glorify you, Lord God, in this moment. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray in Jesus' name. And all the people that amen. If you haven't heard, started a class on Sunday morning. at 9 o'clock on the Holy Spirit and just getting started. Really, I just declared what we're going to do. The Holy Spirit, by my record, has, obviously he can do anything, but in the Bible there's about 12 ministry does for us. And he involves us in those things. We need him to minister to us. So we're going to be talking about those at 9 o'clock Sunday mornings. Right now we're turning to Acts chapter 11 because I'm continuing to preach Acts. And I want to read verses 1 to 18, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to read 1 and 2 because it's a long passage. And with us last week, or you, by the way, you can go on our website and hear the recorded messages now, grace-assembly.com. Last week's message is on there. We sort of covered this story, reiterated in Acts chapter 11. But it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, talking about when people criticize us, the subject criticizes us. It says, now the apostles' brethren were in Judea, heard Gentiles had also received the word of God. When Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision attended with him. Read it, the same verse in the New Living Translation. It says, soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, Jewish believers criticized him. The word contended means criticize. Anybody here ever been criticized before? All right. Occasionally we find ourselves in a situation where we are being criticized, like Peter's situation. And someone comes along and disagrees with us, you understand? In this case, Peter, he had done the right thing. He had obeyed God. He had gone to Cornelius' house. He had proclaimed Jesus to the Gentiles. But when he returns to Jerusalem, to the church, they criticize him. But it wasn't so much because he had preached the gospel to the Gentiles, but verse 3 reveals, you entered the home of Gentiles and ate with them. This is what really got them. Because eating with somebody is a very intimate experience. And to go into the home of a Gentile and eat with them is like throwing open the door to sin as far as a Jew was concerned. Because you never know what you're going to eat. They had all kinds of laws about the feet. And for us, you know, it's a little difficult to relate to this situation that Peter's facing because, I don't know, but I don't think anyone of us here is a Jew, really. Maybe there's somebody, I don't know. But I could tell you this, at this point in history, the prevailing belief is that in order to become a Christian, you had to become a Jew. So, you know, you think about that. How does one truly identify a Jewish man? Circumcision, exactly. These disciples, having received the word of God and salvation through Jesus, the Messiah, you know, felt that Peter had betrayed them and Jesus because they weren't following the right path. They didn't come up the way that they came up. See? So what do you do when you know you have, you know, you followed God's command, yet you find yourself criticized? This morning I want to give you three responses. I think they're wise responses to criticism. They apply to this situation. They may apply to you as well. Number one is just because you're criticized, don't assume that you're wrong. Someone has said for every action there is an equal and opposite criticism. Every time you do something, there's going to be somebody who comes along, going to have a word for you, it's going to be opposite of what you were thinking. So no matter what you do, there's critics. And I want to give you some reasons why. Number one, it's really easy to be critical. Why do we have critics in our life? Because it's easy for us to be critical. It's always easier to tear down than it is to build up. For sometimes it's a lot more fun, and I'll show you what I mean. I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho, heave, ho, and a yell. Swung a beam, and a sidewall fell. And I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you wanted to build? Gave a laugh and said, no, indeed. Just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, what these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, bent labor of tearing down? Lord, let my life and labor be that which build eternity. Amen? It's easier to tear down than to build up. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to wreck things. A lot easier than building. Some people will always be critical. And you know, For some reason, for some people, criticism is all they know. In fact, statistics say 77% of Americans are brought up in such a critical atmosphere that all they really know how to do is to be negative. There was two taxidermists who were standing at a window, and they were looking at an owl, and they began the work of the taxidermist. You know, they said, you know, he's mounted funny, his eyes aren't right, his feathers are out of proportion, his head isn't correct. And as they were criticizing the owl in the window, the owl turned its head and winked at them. For some people, criticism is all they know. And it takes little effort to hurt other people. And you know what? Sometimes people, because their attitude is wrong, feel like grumbling and complaining is their right. Feel like they have, because something's been done to them, that they have a right to hurt everyone else. 1 Timothy 5:13 talks about people who, you know, relish tearing down others. It says they get into the habit of being idle, going about from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. Now, I want you to know this is referring to women, but it also refers to men. Men can do the same thing, right, ladies? Hear an amen. But from my experience, you know, it's been 30 years now since I entered the pastorate, and I remember my first pastorate pretty well. In fact, I was looking through a box of pictures the other day, and for me, I had in my first pastorate Sister Mitchell. I remember Sister. She proclaimed that her spiritual gift was the gift of criticism, and she used it upon me regularly. She felt that it was her duty to mature me, so she would criticize my sermons, she'd criticize my singing, criticize the clothes that I wore, criticize the activities that I put together, criticize me for not visiting her enough. She criticized me for visiting her too much. She criticized me for not putting her in charge of greeting people at the door. Would I put the most I ever met in my life in charge of scaring away new people? She criticized me for not singing out of the hymn book enough. And, you know, as I experienced this, I quickly learned not to assume that I was wrong. Just because she may have had the gift of criticism, but doesn't mean that I was all as bad as she said I was. So it's easy, right? It's easy to criticize. You know, thirdly, criticism is never easy to deal with, right? Especially when it comes from fault-finding, judgmental people. Here's the reality. God loves us, right? I'm thinking about Peter now. Is in his shoes. I mean, God loves the world. And he will use his servants. He won't hesitate to point out, God won't hesitate, even though he loves us, to point out our sin. I mean, sometimes he even uses servants of God. Consider Stephen, who spoke to the crowd that was going to stone him in Acts 7. He said to them, he said, "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestor did, and so do you." I mean, he laid it on the line, and he let them have it, right? He was speaking the truth to them. Sometimes God will, because God loves us, because he cares about us, we may be in doing something wrong. He will speak to our lives, or he'll send somebody to speak into our lives, and it isn't a comfortable situation. I want you to understand something. When it comes to the body of Christ, God has given us some rules. He says, in general, we shouldn't be going around tearing each other down. But over and over again, the Bible says we should be encouraging one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing." I mean, it's easy to see the negative, see the problem, see the dark spot in somebody's life, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, I don't think that the Holy Spirit is going around telling you to go say something about it and point out somebody in a negative way, because the Holy Spirit has already spoken in the Word of God and told us that we need to encourage each other. We need to help each other out. Sometimes a person will have a problem in their life and they'll get trapped in sin and they get carried away in sin. So what do we do about it then? Well, we call the pastor to deal with it. No, that's not what we do. We get on Facebook. We talk all about it on Facebook, right? No, that's not a good idea either, is it? Telling others, getting online or just getting on the telephone and calling other people and telling them, "You know what, I found out about so-and-so," it's not right. Not hearing a lot of amens in this Syrian church morning. The truth is, if you're in the midst of a situation where you see that someone has got a problem, or they've fallen into sin, or they're in a dark place, and you're personally involved in that, and you can relate to it, and you're aware of it, you know who's God is leading to help deal with that problem? You. It's not time to call the pastor or call the prayer chain. Yeah, they'll deal with it. No, God wants us to encourage that person. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest also tempted." You know what that means, you who are spiritual? I'll tell you. No, I know. It means literally the examined life. In other words, you may not be perfect, okay? You may not have all your problems resolved. Who knows? Now, you may still have some issues, but our life is open before God. And you've let him come into your life, show you that even though you're weak, he is strong. The examined life, that's a spiritual life. That's a life that is open, what the Holy Spirit wants. And so it says that you need to restore. How do you restore somebody? The word restore there means used in several other ways. Maybe these pictures of words come to your mind. It means to set the bones of a broken body or to mend nets. Now, I have net mending, and I haven't done any bone setting either. Both those things are tedious work. I know when my wife broke her ankle, it hurt. No, and so to work with that and set that bone, that requires gentleness. So how do you restore somebody? You do it gently. You think about them as somebody who's broken, somebody who's ripped. You are to go in and you are to deal with them gently. That means, you know what that means to me? It means you're not supposed to go to that person and say, "You are really something. You're a loser. How could you live with yourself acting that way? I don't even want to be around you." So you're somehow going to kind of slap that beer out of their hand and you need to get right with God. That's not very gentle, is it? Gentleness is love and a sincere care about putting yourself in that person's shoes, and letting the Holy Spirit work in their life so that they grow. They have a chance to become what God wants them to be. You have the opportunity to facilitate that in another person's life without it being critical. It is possible. I have found in my ministry that when I've had to set someone's right, talk to them and help them, sometimes they take it personally. Sometimes they get their feelings hurt. But then they come back and say, "I want to thank you for what you did. It really helped me." Now, having had that experience, I share that with you because I want you to understand that you may be rejected trying to help somebody, but the Holy Spirit is working with you. And he's the one who's going to bring about the transformation. And when that transformation takes place, that person who rejected you is going to realize that you were doing what the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want people to be out there alone, in and amongst the enemy, and struggling, and hanging on for dear life, when we have the opportunity to reach out and grab hold of them. Amen? I'm trying to get my point across. The whole thing is not easy, but I think it's important. So some people criticize because that's all they know. Some people criticize because it's easy to do. But that should not be us. That should not be the church, the body of Christ. Boy, the amens are so loud. I know you're just listening to me, and I appreciate that. But I'd love some agreement here because I feel like I'm all alone. In Peter's case, I want to move on. In Peter's case, his fellow believers criticized him, and I think the reason is because they lacked knowledge. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus said these words. "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." When he said God so loved the world, he wasn't talking about just the Jews. These brothers needed to understand that the gospel was for the world, not just for the Jews alone. So Peter, he listened to them. He knew where they stood, and he accepted their word. But, before we get to his response, the most larger part of this text, I want to share some other steps we can consider when criticism comes our way. When we believe we've done right, it now we're being criticized. Number one was don't assume you're wrong. Number two is examine your motivation. There's not a thing that you and I do that is not founded on some sort of motivation. There's a there's always going to be a reason. There was a 300-pound man who went to a counselor, and he asked the counselor for some help. He said, I'm overweight. I said, I'm fat. I can't get a date. The counselor said, I have a plan. He said, I want you to be ready at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So that 8 o'clock the next morning came, the man was ready, and a knock came on his door, and there stood a beautiful woman in a skin-tight jogging outfit. She said, if you can catch me, you can eat me. And so he huffed and he puffed after her, and you know what? This went on every day for 5 months. Till finally, he lost 115 pounds, and he thought to himself, you know, tomorrow, she knocks on the door, I'm going to be ready, I'm going to catch her. That morning came, and the knock came on the door, and he whipped open the door, and there stood a 300-pound woman. And the woman looked at him, and she was there in a jogging suit, and she said, the counselor told me to tell you that if you can catch you, I can have you. Motivation, you see? Motivation. It's everything. And we need to evaluate our motivations for doing the things that we do. If we don't evaluate it, you know, if we don't evaluate our motivations, we're not actually... We need to be sure that we're not actually in the wrong times. We've been criticized. How do we evaluate ourselves? We do that by asking, you know, some questions of ourselves. We don't normally do this diagnostically, but, you know, these are some things to think about. You know, like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing what I'm doing? In Peter's case, the Lord had appeared to him in a vision. He had sent him, appearance of sheets coming down from heaven and told him to kill and eat. And so the next thing you know, someone's at the door and he has this divine appointment. And of course, that was his motivation because he felt like God was telling him to do this thing. But, you know, we don't always have angels visiting us or have visions from God that come in our life. But we can know with some certainty that we're right in our motivation. Here's some other questions you might ask to evaluate. Am I serving for... some other purpose than being obedient to God? Why am I doing this? Have I correctly understood what God has called me to do? Am I relying on God's strength, or am I doing this in my own strength? Because sometimes if we just ask a few questions, we'll get some honest answers. We know what those answers are. The Holy Spirit is with us. He'll guide us. He'll lead us. He'll show us our motivation. I believe it. Don't assume you're wrong, but we need to examine our motivations. And then, you know what? We need to learn to respond appropriately. A wise person accepts criticism, learns from the opportunity. The Proverbs say this. There's a number of good Proverbs that talk about it. Proverbs 10:17 says, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So if we've been wrong and we've been criticized for it, we need to accept that it's true. We need to recognize that we made a mistake. We've sinned. We need to confess it before God. We need to ask forgiveness of anyone we may have injured, and we need to learn that, you know, we're not perfect, that we need the grace of God, we need the wisdom of God in our life, and we need to walk in a straight path. But if our motive is pure and we know that we're done the right thing, we have a choice to make on how we respond. There's a great theologian by the name of Augustine, Saint Augustine, as the Catholic Church calls him. And he said these words, Lord, deliver me from the lust of vindicating. And I was getting Chinese food for my family last night. And I pulled up to the Chinese restaurant. And those spaces at that Davin Mall are really small, especially when there's a lot of pickup. And when I opened my door, ding, the car next to me. So I closed it. And then I started to back up to move. I realized I wasn't going to be able to fit out the door. The guy next to me backed up really fast. Thought he was leaving. So I hesitated back in. I got out of my truck to get my Chinese food. The guy jumped out of the car and he goes, how dare you hit my car? You know, aren't you even going to apologize? And I'm like, didn't respond real well. You know what I did? I vindicated. I felt bad afterwards. No, maybe you've been in that same situation. I didn't let him have it, but I mean, I stood up for myself. And Lord, deliver me, you know, from the lust of having to vindicate myself all the time. It's not a fun place to be. And I knew that when that happened, it was God, me, an illustration for today's message, you know. Oh, this Presbyterian church is getting a little too wild for me. I'm being criticized now. I can feel it. You know, Augustine, though, his perspective was, you know, he was being criticized. He was criticized often, but he knew he hadn't really done anything wrong. And so his prayer is really to not have the desire to fight it. And I'll tell you why. Because of Jesus. Because when Jesus faced all those who criticized him meekly, and Augustine wanted to be like Jesus. That's a hard pill to swallow, for especially for a lot of macho men living in Arizona, cowboy types.
Take it.
I'll tell you what, though. Augustine was a lot stronger man than any of us. Peter, you know, he I don't know if he just felt the desire to vindicate himself, but he did. Instead, although he felt he was right, he went ahead and explained himself. How he went to Joppa, how he had a vision, you know, the sheets coming down, and then how three men came to the door, and they took him from Joppa to Caesarea, where he met Cornelius, who had an angelic visitor who had told him that Peter, will tell you how you and everyone in your household will be saved. It's interesting how the story changes a little bit, because when it really happened, it was God's got something from you. But Peter changes how you're all going to be saved. Then when Peter began speaking, the Bible says the Spirit of God fell, and all these Gentiles began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then Peter responds to that story, says these words, "Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Hallelujah. And you know what happened? After he shared his heart with these men who were criticizing him, were upset that he'd eaten with the Gentiles, when they heard these things, they became silent, glorified God. God also has granted them. In just an instant, God changed their hearts. In an instant, God changed their minds. The Holy Spirit was working with Peter to help them understand that this gospel is not just for the Jews. This gospel is for every person in the world. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I know, having had the experience of being criticized, I was looking for a picture. I dug through. At home, do you have boxes of pictures from the old days, you know? Anymore, it's all on Facebook, right? Or some online, or it's digital. I have 10,000 pictures on my camera. But at home, we have all the pictures are boxes. And I went through all these boxes looking for a picture of Sister Mitchell, and I couldn't find one. But I found a facsimile kind of looked like that. You know, I know that dear Sister Mitchell, who's there under the flame, wasn't dealing with me in a right spirit. But I didn't take offense. It definitely bugged me. But I determined to let the Holy Spirit deal with her and overlook her negative talk. Certainly wasn't going to go punch her lights out. You know, she's a sweet old lady. Mean spirit. So what I would do is just say thank you. You know, the Bible talks about heaping coals. I was just grateful for it. I remember one day I was on the side of the church and I was painting. Church. She strolled by, and she had to purposely have strolled by. You know what she said to me? "I guess pastors do." You know what I said? "Thank you." And, you know, eventually she relented. But I wonder, how do you handle criticism? You know, first of all, don't assume that you're wrong when someone criticizes you just because you've been criticized. You know, it doesn't mean you're wrong. You need to examine yourself, examine your motivations, right? If you find your motivations were wrong, what do? You need to repent. If you feel like you're in the right, then you have a choice. You can vindicate yourself. You could stand up for yourself. Maybe that would be the right choice to make, the right time. Maybe you just give it to Jesus. Kind of be like Augustine. Just let him have it. Shine it up to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I know you carried all of my sin, all of the pains and struggles of the world across the Calvary. Here's one more." You know what? And he wants to take it so that pain, because we can't afford to have critical spirit. We can't afford to fall down and let others fall around us. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, delivering us from sin, death. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us this life where we can learn and grow and become what you want us to be. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be a people who would not fall into the trap of criticism. God, that we would deal with it appropriately in our lives, grow through it. Lord God, I know that we are always tested. When we hear the word of God and we learn a truth, that we're tested. May we pass the test, God, because we're tapped into your strength, your power, and we're not facing these alone. Help us to remember, to think, to be people who are reasonable, or have open hearts, and not fall into the trap the enemy would set for us, would set for ourselves. Lord God, I thank you for what you're going to do and through us. Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you as you go from church today. Love you very much. Thank you for not being so critical.